The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 14, text number 17, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Kikari, recorded on January 23rd, 2010, in Los Angeles, California, USA.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 5, chapter 14, text number 17.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Kadachin manorato pagata pitri pitam mahadya sat sad svapna vritti lakshanam anubhavati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes the conditioned soul imagines that his father or grandfather has again come in the form of his son or grandson. In this way, he feels the happiness one sometimes feels in a dream, and the conditioned soul sometimes takes pleasure in such mental concoctions. Purport. Due to ignorance of the real existence of the Lord, the conditioned soul imagines many things. Influenced by fruitive activity, he comes together with his relatives, fathers, sons, and grandfathers, exactly as straws gather together in a moving stream. In a moment, the straws are thrown everywhere and they lose contact. In conditional life, the living entity is temporarily with many other conditioned souls. They gather together as family members, and the material affection is so strong that even after a father or grandfather passes away, one takes pleasure in thinking that they return to the family in different forms. Sometimes this may happen, but in any case, the conditioned soul likes to take pleasure in such concocted thoughts.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatambada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, they want to get pleasure, because that is the actual nature of the living entity. Every living entity is by nature blissful. But because this material nature is so miserable, they have to imagine some happiness. Maya sukaya. There is no happiness. Forget it. Doesn't exist. Isn't in here. Not here at all. You see. But just like in Hollywood, here the movie sets, you see. They make some imaginary reality. It looks real on the screen, but actually the whole thing is fake, you see. So they also have the Hollywood of the mind, you see. They imagine this happiness, you see. Oh yes, my grandfather has now come, he's my son, you see. Even though sometimes it may happen, generally it does not happen. But they live in this way in their imaginary happiness, thinking, yes, my wife has come back again. My father, my this, my that, Maya. It's pitiable, actually. It's quite pitiable, this material existence. The poor souls are suffering here like anything. There's not any happiness at all. Simply they try to squeeze some pleasure. We were saying this the other night. We were in Lima, Peru, and we were staying just across from a park from the temple. And so every time we went to the temple, especially in the evening, every bench had a pair of lovers on it, trying to squeeze the pleasure, you see. Panak panas charavita charavananam. It was like, must have been 50 couples out there, you know, getting into it, trying to squeeze that pleasure out of that skin, you know. But it was pitiable because actually none of them were really happy. There was no real bliss there, even though they thought they were blissing out, you know, with their girlfriends and boyfriends, you know, on the park benches. There was nothing. There's nothing there, no substance. Even if there was something there, there's nothing left, you see. Just like that old song back in the 60s, that old pop song, you know, does your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? You know. If there was, they chewed it again and again and again and again and again and again and again, and they're trying to get pleasure, but there's nothing there. But they're thinking, I will get some pleasure out of it, so let me go on chewing the chew. But the reality is, it gets drier and drier and drier and drier. It doesn't get better, it simply gets drier and drier and drier. But Krishna consciousness is just the opposite. It gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. You see. We've been chewing, they're chewing in the sense gratification, we are chewing this Hare Krishna mantra. And by our chewing, it becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. There's actually an unlimited ocean of nectar in this wonderful magic mantra that Srila Prabhupada has so kindly delivered to us from Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. There's so much nectar. There's so much nectar in these holy names. It's been so nicely described by Rupa Goswami. Tunde Tundavani. Tunde Tanavani Vatavating Tundavali Lamdeye Karna Krodha Kadambani Gatayate Kunarbadebyaspriham Cheta Prangana Sangani Vijayate Savendriyanam Kritim No Jane Janita Kiyadvir Amritai Krishneti Varnadvai. Rupa Goswami is saying, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I chant this Krishna, it dances within my mouth. And when it's dancing in my mouth like that, I want many, many mouths. One mouth is not enough. Amanal's names enter the holes of my ears, then I desire many millions of ears. And when those names are dancing in the courtyard of my heart, oh, my mind becomes completely subdued and conquered, and I'm stunned in wonder. Sometimes we wonder, what does that mean, many mouths and many ears? What is Rupa Goswami saying here? What's the point? This was a discussion we had the other day in Argentina. There was a pizza party going on, actually, at the time. Devotees have a pizza oven in their yard, and they have these pizza parties. It's a big thing. So anyway, I was explaining to the devotees, what does this verse mean? I was telling the leading devotee there, I said, just imagine, Prabhu, there was a special feast in your honor. And this devotee really likes pizza, by the way. I said, just imagine there was a special feast in your honor, and you came out here into this yard, and we had 10 million pieces of pizza stacked up. We said, Prabhu, enjoy. Here's your 10 million pieces of pizza. Well, you go, I only got one mouth, I only got one belly. How can I enjoy 10? It's not possible to enjoy 10 million pieces of pizza. I mean, maybe 10. But 10 million pieces of pizza, I mean, if I had 10 million bellies, yeah. So this is actually the point of Rupa Goswami in this verse. You know, what can I do with one little mouth and one little set of ears? I mean, there's just so much nectar in Krishna that one set of ears and one mouth just doesn't hack it, you know. Doesn't hack it. So actually, Prabhupada told George Harrison to make a popular song out of this verse. I don't think he did that. But it's a wonderful, wonderful verse. Give it in the CC. Really, really sweet verse. I mean, I don't know how much nectar is available in these two syllables. Krishna. Wow. I mean, we're hardly scratching the surface, you know. We're hardly scratching the surface. But if we just keep chanting and, you know, keep serving and keep trying to please our beloved Srila Prabhupada, you know, then we're just going to get more and more juice, more and more nectar out of that Krishna utterance. You see? I mean, Krishna himself is present, and I mean, how much nectar is present in Krishna? Krishna has enough nectar to fill up, you know, all millions and billions of universes. It's just like the ultimate glob jamun, you know. Just imagine a glob jamun, you know, it squirts out that juice. Just imagine it squirts out so much juice, it fills up the whole universe, and it's such a powerful pressure of juice that it breaks through the coverings. How many billions of miles thick are those coverings of the universe? I forget the math on it. It's a humongous number. Anybody know how many miles thick the universal coverings are? Oh, my God, it's so thick. But just imagine there's so much nectar coming out of that Krishna just fills up the whole universe and breaks through the coverings and inundates all the universes in the material world, crosses the Virajava and inundates the whole spiritual sky. I mean, wow, there's that much nectar in one utterance of Krishna. So how much are we tasting right now? Just a little teeny weeny little infinitesimal drop of that nectar. You see? So, we just got to avoid those nama-parads. Be serious about it, you know. Just got to get really serious about kicking those nama-parads out the door. You're not welcome here, nama-parads. You see? When the nama-parads come to check in the hotel of my heart, they should see a sign that says, no vacancy. So how do you do it? I mean, how do you get rid of those nama-parads anyway? I mean, sometimes we say, well, whatever you do, don't offend a devotee. Because, you know, it's Vaishnava-parad, hati-mata, don't offend a devotee. Well, some new bhakti says, well, never offend a devotee. Well, what am I going to do? I'm so offensive. What am I going to do? How am I going to survive? I know, I'll just go to the forest. Then I'll never offend a devotee. But Prabhupada told us to stay in the association of devotees, so that doesn't work because you're disobeying the order of the spiritual master. So how do you remain in the society of the devotees and not commit Vaishnava Parad? Well, it's very simple. Our Narottam Das Thakur has given us a very wonderful tip in that song, Yanama Sankirtan song. Ananda Bole, Anande Bolo Hadi, Bajavrindavan, Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna. Worship the holy Dham, Sri Vrindavan. And always within your heart meditate with love on the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So not only my spiritual master is worshipable, but every single Vaishnava is worshipable. So this movement is giving us a wonderful, wonderful opportunity because there's so many devotees in this movement of so many varieties of personalities and styles, etc., etc., etc. So I'm learning how to appreciate every single devotee in this movement, you see. That appreciation of the devotees, it translates into Nama Ruchi, actually. Sadhu Ruchi, Vaishnava Ruchi, you see. Sadhu Sangha Ruchi has a direct correspondence with Nama Ruchi. In other words, the more we can learn to love the Vaishnavas, who are actually representatives of the holy name, the more we can learn how to love Vaishnavas, then we will naturally become very soft in relationship with Nama Prabhu, the holy name. So as we relate with the Prabhus, which includes the Manajis, because they're another type of Prabhu. I mean, our mother is also our master. This is our father is our master. In the way that we relate with the Prabhus, to whatever extent we have learned how to love the Prabhus, to that extent, we will love Nama Prabhu, the holy name. So it's actually a very simple formula, how to become pure devotee. We simply have to learn how to love the Vaishnavas. And what does love mean? Love means service. Not some lip, simply a lip service, you see. But how much am I really in the mood of serving the Vaishnavas? This is the real key. I remember when I was a young brahmachari many years ago, I was visiting our temple in Juhu, a wonderful Radha Rasa Bihari Mandir. So wonderful project. Prabhupada's, one of Prabhupada's pet projects, you see. So I was sitting there late in the evening in the Pasharam room. It was empty. But then Giriraj Maharaj comes in, and this really amazed me. I never forgot this. Thank you very much. I was sitting there taking prasadam, and His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, who was such big leader in our movement. In fact, Prabhupada said, Giriraj is Bombay, and Bombay is Giriraj. I mean, he was big. And he's still big in a different way now. But in Bombay, he was very, very big devotee. You see. So I was sitting there in the prasadam room, Giriraj Maharaj walks up to me. I couldn't believe it. In a very sweet and soft, tender, affectionate voice, he said, "Is there anything else I can bring for you?" I was totally blown away. Wow, I'm some just unknown brahmachari, you know, from Texas. And here Giriraj is approaching me in a humble way, like he's my personal servant. And just in a very sweet, pure, affectionate way, he's asking me if he can bring me some more prasadam. I couldn't believe it. This is real Krishna consciousness, you know. This is real Krishna consciousness. So this is actually, you know, the way that we do it. You know, we live in a society of devotees. We have wonderful relationships. We try to have, I mean, even if we have a disagreement. I mean, sometimes, you know, you got your opinion, I've got mine, and it's a pretty strong dividing line. But hey, we're both agreeing to serve Krishna and Prabhupada. So we have to see that side of it. It's more important than our difference of opinion, you see. So in this way, we have to always keep that loving feeling towards all the devotees. And that extends out to all living entities, because actually every living entity, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, jivera sarupahoi krishnera nitya das. Every single living entity is a devotee, actually. So if we say love the devotee, that means every, even the little ant crawling across the floor, you see, even that cockroach in the restaurant, you know, that we're trying to get rid of to keep him out. I don't know about this one, but some of the other restaurants I saw in South America. But they're actually devotees, you see. Every single living entity is a devotee. So in this way, we have to be very broad-minded, very broad-hearted, open-hearted, you see. This is the Sankirtan mood, wanting to bestow this ultimate benediction of Krishna praying upon all living entities who are suffering. And of course, this is the secret of how we can easily become Krishna conscious. What is that saying? The more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So therefore, the more we have a passion for distributing Krishna consciousness, then that gives us our Krishna consciousness. I remember years ago, I was in our Dallas temple, and that time, Vaisheshik Prabhu and Sura Prabhu were there doing the Dallas airport. Those were really sweet days. I remember how it was so amazing to see their Krishna consciousness. They would come back from the airport, and they would just pick up Prabhupada's books, and they'd be talking about, you know, Krishna Katha, just diving into the nectar, you know. How they were tasting so much nectar, because all day they were giving Krishna, and now they could relish Krishna very deeply. And it was so inspiring to see that Krishna consciousness of Sura and Vaisheshika Prabhu after coming back from the airport. Not that they just relax, you know, kick back. No. Now let's talk about Krishna. And it was really, really sweet to see that. So this is the secret of success in Krishna consciousness. We should be very eager to bless the fallen conditioned souls by distributing this wonderful message that Prabhupada has given to us, you see. This wonderful message of pure Krishna bhakti, that His divine grace is handed to us on a golden platter. You see. Here, take this message. Live by it. Distribute it. You will become perfect. You will see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. When you leave your body, you'll wake up in the pastimes of Krishna. I mean, what an amazing boon Prabhupada has given us. Such an amazing boon. Go to sleep and wake up with Krishna. Wow, I mean, this is just incredible mercy. Unbelievable mercy that Srila Prabhupada has bestowed upon us. How can we ever thank Him enough? There's no way we can ever thank Prabhupada enough. This unlimited ocean of mercy He's showering upon our heads. No way we can thank Him enough except to try to give everybody else, you see, that mercy. And that's the best thank you we can give for Srila Prabhupada. One time Prabhupada said that, you're always saying, oh, glory to Srila Prabhupada. Why don't you become glorious? You see, that's actually the best praise of the spiritual master. You see, when the disciple becomes advanced, that is the best glorification of the spiritual master. Because what is that saying? A tree is judged by its fruit. So if I'm a rotten, bitter fruit, a godas who can't control my senses, then how am I really glorifying my spiritual master? You see? So we ought to be a little embarrassed in this regard, considering our anarthas. But by becoming very, very serious about engaging ourselves 24/7, every thought, every word, every deed, in the service of our spiritual master in a way that is pleasing to our beloved Srila Prabhupada and our initiating gurus and our siksha gurus, our vartma pradarshika gurus, you see. In this way, if we're very, very eager to do everything in a way that's pleasing to Guru and Krishna, then we'll become glorious. And that will be the best praise that we can make of Srila Prabhupada. The best glorification we can make of Srila Prabhupada. What is that verse? yad yada tadashi shrestas tattadeve tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. Whatever action a great man performs, the entire world follows. You see, whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So that's a tip on how we can spread this movement, you see. I think it was Omkar Prabhu, I read in the newsletter that you were distributing in the airport, and somebody said, they said just by your, was that you? They said, by your smile, I am convinced to take a book. I don't know what, I don't care what's in your book, but anybody who can smile like that, I want to read your book, you see. So this is an example, you see. The more we become ecstatic, you know, every devotee should be like a bliss volcano, you know, just spewing bliss lava in all directions, you know what I mean? Just so fired up and so enlivened by Krishna consciousness that anybody sees you go, wow, man, I don't know where you're coming from, but what are you into? Tell me. You got something I don't have, you see. This is an acharya, you see. And we saw Prabhupada, we were blown away by his demeanor, by his style, everything about Prabhupada would just completely blow you away and just absolutely amaze you. This person is not of this world. This person is from another dimension. I want his mercy. I want to know how I can go with him and be with him, you see, in that dimension of consciousness, that dimension of existence. So if we are true Prabhupada Anugas, then we should be manifesting that transcendental existence in our behavior, in our words, in our thoughts, so that anybody who comes in contact with us will go, wow, I don't know what you're into, but I want to get into it. You have something that I don't have, you see. So anyway, all we have to do is make the endeavor, even though we may be unqualified in so many ways, so many disqualifications, you know, like lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. I mean, pretty thick layers of crud there in the heart, you see. Even though we're disqualified in so many ways, if we will make that endeavor, just make that sincere endeavor, you see, to advance a little bit every day in Krishna consciousness. If I can just make a little teeny-weeny bit of advancement every day, the accumulated result of that little bit of advancement every day will be big advancement over a course of time. Let me just try today to become a little bit more Krishna conscious than I was yesterday. Become a little bit more humble, a little bit more enthusiastic to render devotional service, a little bit more enthusiastic to distribute books and preach and go on Harinam. Let me just try to become a little bit more Krishna conscious than I was yesterday, you see. In this way, increasing, 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 increasing. This is the nature of the spiritual energy. It is ever increasing. So if we get in that mood of always increasing, 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 that puts us in the spiritual energy. So which energy do we want to be in? The material energy or the spiritual energy? We have a choice, you see. Which energy do you want to be in? So let us make that endeavor to always be increasing our Krishna consciousness. And then we will not be caught up in this syndrome of trying to imagine that we're happy in this material world, trying to create a little Hollywood, Hollywood in the brain to imagine our Hollywood happiness. We can taste the real thing, Prabhus and Madhajis. We can taste the real thing. We can get Krishna Prem. Prabhupada ordered me. What can I do? I'm supposed to obey your guru, right? Prabhupada ordered me to become a pure devotee. What can I do? The struggling Godas here sitting in the Vyasas. What can I do? Prabhupada told me in one letter, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. That's one letter. Another one, he said, no karma, no jnana, no yoga, all material desires, zero. All I can do is pray for Prabhupada's mercy, you see. That's how Prabhupada instructed me, that I have to become completely 100% pure devotee if I want to be effective in preaching. You see, I wrote him because I wanted to I wanted to preach. I wanted to be effective in becoming a powerful preacher of Krishna consciousness. And he told me what you're going to have to do if you want to do that. So I know I got a long way to go, but I'm just begging the mercy of all the Vaishnavas. I asked the mercy of Jayapataka Swami yesterday. He put his hand on my head and I begged for his blessing for pure bhakti. So in this way, if we will very seriously and joyfully, you see, those are not contradictory. Sometimes I mean, well, I don't want to be too serious. It doesn't sound very ecstatic. No, no. Don't misunderstand. The more you're serious, the more you'll become ecstatic. You see. You may say, but I enjoy being frivolous because, it's kind of cool. But that happiness is called feverish happiness. The happiness which comes in becoming very serious in Krishna consciousness, that's serious happiness. It's like we might say, well, he's making some serious money. Yeah. You get some really serious happiness by taking pure bhakti very seriously. You get some heavy-duty happiness. In that sense, serious. You get some real heavy-duty nectar. Bliss and heavy. So in this way, we have to prosecute Krishna consciousness within our heart and in the human society to become blessed ourselves and to bless the suffering humanity. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Archita Prabhu. I can't hear it. I got to do something here. Can you come here and tell me in my ear? Because my hearing is really bad. The sound system doesn't work for me. What you tell me, Amir?
Someone is on the live session.
Oh, the live session. Oh, okay. All right, the question is, if we go back to Godhead, can we fall again? All right. The answer is, we always do have the potential for falling down. That is a fact. Because the living entity is eternally free. The living entity has free will, and that free will always exists. So the potential of falling down is always there. However, as it is sometimes said, once burned, twice shy. The little child, he may stick his hand in the fire once. You see, the parents always told that little kid, now, Johnny, whatever you do, don't stick your hand in the fire. So Johnny thinks, well, what is this forbidden fruit? You know, like Adam, the apple in the Garden of Eden, you know, what is this forbidden fruit? The fire, let me check it out. And the parents are, Never again will Johnny stick his hand in the fire, you see. So yeah, one could, but one won't. Therefore, Krishna says, Punar janmana vidyate, they never fall again. One can fall once. A child can stick his hand in the fire once and get burned, but you can't pay him to do it again. He'll never do it again. Any other question? Yes. Yes. Sometimes in our sincere attempt to serve Vaishnavas, we might see that somebody is taking unfair advantage for their sense gratification. So what to do in that kind of a situation? One should not... being a humble devotee doesn't mean to become naive also. One has to actually see according to the scripture. In other words, I have to see that there's devotees on different levels. There's some devotees who are very advanced in Krishna consciousness, some who are completely neophytes, there's some who are and there are many who are in the middle. So we have to, the scriptures tell us that we should actually, especially be interested to serve those who are very advanced Vaishnavas, you see. should especially be eager to serve them. We should bow down at their feet. We should beg for service. We should inquire submissively. It's also mentioned, it's almost shocking, this quote from Prabhupada. He says that in our movement there are envious persons, disciples of Kali. He said they should be avoided. In our Krishna consciousness movement, it's in the CC. There are devotees who are actually envious persons, and they should be avoided. So if somebody is taking advantage of in the name of being a devotee and using that position for their personal aggrandizement, we can respect them from a distance. Well, at least they're chanting Hare Krishna. But we, as far as actually rendering service, we should look for those who are advanced. And as far as making friends, having intimate relationships, we should find devotees who are on an equal level with us and, you know, have close friendships, sharing realizations, doing things together in this way. Being humble doesn't mean to become naive. One should be humble in terms of the scriptures. I think that answers it. Yes? Some question? You better help me, Melissa. It's possible. It's not something that's, you know, it's not standard routine thing. But it's possible, Prabhupada directly says, sometimes this may happen. So that doesn't mean with our limited perceptions, how could we say whether it happened or not? But it does happen sometimes. That's a fact. It could happen with devotees too. That answer your question?
Yeah.
All right. Anything else? Yes.
One last question. Just want to give an example of a very wealthy man who had two sons, and he was so attached to the family, he died, and because he was so attached, he came back as a commoner in the same village, and then he approached the house. And the sons became inimical to him. They just took an instant dislike to this guy. And he beat him. There was a father who had actually come back. He took birth in the same village. They approached the house. And the sons were so inimical, they just beat him and drove him away. So Prabhupada said, this is what happens. If you become attached, you may take birth again, even in the same family or in the same house with him. Or you may be a cockroach in the house. Or you may come back like this guy and be beaten by your own family.
Came back as a
To his own house.
Yes.
And they kicked him away. Get out of here, you rascal. Yes, Brighamani Prabhu. Wow, that's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. Well, you know that, Bibal Mangala's spiritual master in his previous life, Somagiri, Prabhupada explains, he came back as Chintamani. It's pretty heavy, actually. But actually, Chintamani was Somagiri. Prabhupada, I found it in the Vedabase. Somagiri, the spiritual master of Bibal Mangala, in his previous life, he came back as Chintamani to save his disciple. So this is a good warning for the disciples. Don't put your spiritual master in a position he has to come back as a prostitute, your prostitute girlfriend in your next life to save you from sense gratification. Please, don't do that to your guru. Okay, any other questions? All right, we'll stop here. We thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.